Matthew 17. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, and talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And that statement, listen to Jesus, hear ye him. Listen to Jesus. You know, we live in a world where people listen to everybody but Jesus. They listen to everybody, everything. We listen to advice we get on TV. Joe told us in class about who's the boss and the woman on who's the boss, people listening to her. And I just thought, you know, as he was telling this story, who is she that people would listen to her instead of Jesus? I was just appalled that someone would listen to that person, whoever that person was. I used to, if that show was on TV, I definitely made it a point to change the channels. And there's other shows, if that show is on, I definitely make it a point to change the channels. There's a thing on my TV called, I think it's called List. And that means whatever I've chosen to record, I can go to that, because only shows usually that I've chosen to record will I watch, because that means anything else on there I do not want to see. Because anything else on there, I've got about 4,235 channels, and I think about that same number is unfit to watch, because I'm too old or too young to see them, because they're unfit to watch. I don't want to see them. I want to know the weather for the day, and I want to know, am I going to go out here outside my house, and is there a fire out here, or somebody going to get run over, or can I get out on the roads and still get by? And that's about it. And other than that, you know, we listen to everybody but Jesus. In this account, God tells us to listen and heed the words of Jesus. This must have been a majestic type scene to hear these words and to hear this advice. And as the books of the New Testament were being written and circulated, God wanted people to hear and to heed the words of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes, And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now this more than likely was the book of Ephesians, because an aspired apostle, even at that time before the New Testament was complete, was writing and telling these folks to circulate these letters among the churches. He understood that the letters of the New Testament churches were designed to be written, to be circulated among these churches for guidance at that particular time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, he writes and says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren, unto all them. Read it. And they made a practice in the New Testament churches of reading these words. And that's probably one of the reasons that you're going to see from this pulpit many New Testament passages being used and read and discussed on a regular basis. In Revelation, a book that we circumnavigate a lot of times, that we probably need to spend more time, he says, Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. He talks about reading them, heeding them, and keeping them. That's important stuff.
Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, till I come, give attendance to read. Now, some of your translations might say public reading of Scripture. This is an implied meaning. This is not in the original, but this is exactly what went on in the New Testament churches. They read Scripture on a regular basis when they got together. To reading, to exhortation, building each other up. And that's exactly what goes on in our churches today. That's what we do today. That's why we're here, to build each other up and to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13. And when reading or listening to your Bible, it's important to pay close attention. And we're not just talking about the time that we spend studying together. We're talking about time that you spend, hopefully, reading yourself at home. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'm not as good about reading as I should be. You know what I do? I have it read to me. Now, you can do that without somebody reading to you. Did you know that? There are so many apps. Did you think we were going to talk about apps today? This is not an iPhone class, okay? This is not an iPhone sermon. But there are ways that you can get your Bible read to you by a professional reader. Can you believe that? You know, used to you had to buy records or cassettes or whatever. There's all kinds of little apps that will sit there. A lot of times I go to sleep at night with this guy with a very deep voice reading the Bible to me. You know, that just soothes me. And you know what? There is another app, I sound like iPhone class, don't I? Called churchofchristradio.com. And they sing to you. Can you believe that? I told you that before too. But I'll remind some of you that may be visiting, I enjoy listening to that. Puts me to sleep. Y'all never have trouble going to sleep, do you? None of y'all do. That's just me. I have trouble sleeping at night. And that's why I'm late to work a lot, Larry. There is no late. We have what's called, what do we call that? Show up when you, sign in when you get there. You know, it's just, you know, kind of a sliding scale. But anyway, it's a situation where I'm there when I get there, and sometimes I don't get there. So you can have the Bible read to you. There's no excuse anymore for not reading the Bible. When somebody that's a professional reader reads to you, and you don't even have somebody come to your house to do it. So often people make mistakes, though, when you're reading God's Word, don't we? When you read your Bible, read it in context. Read it in context. Ask who it's written to. Whom was he speaking when he was speaking it? What were the circumstances surrounding the writing? You know, we've talked about this in class before. The Bible was written years ago. It was written for us, but it was not written to us. You see what I mean? It was written for all time, but it was not written specifically to us. In the Bible, God shows His wisdom. Do you want to get God's wisdom? It's there, folks. It's there for you to choose God's mind. We need to listen to all of God's Word and not just the part that fits our doctrine. You know, a lot of times, you get the part. If you come only on Sunday morning, you only get one part of it. In Wednesday night class, we covered the whole Old Testament in a survey. Larry's class, we covered various parts of the New Testament. Joe is now teaching it this morning. Who would have thought we would have covered those subjects this morning? If you weren't here in class, you missed it. When I left for class this morning, I had no idea the topics we would cover. And, you know, he brought up stuff that's current, so current that you had to be part of some kind of Twittering or something. You know, I'm not really with it anymore. I mean, that Facebooking thing is really with it for me, but he's doing some kind of Twittering. I did some Twittering last week. There was a bird that built a nest on the
patio that I made go away. But I think he's talking about something else that's more current than that. So see, if you missed out on that, then you may know what he's talking about. I don't know about that stuff.
But Solomon said, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly. So you need to study all sides of a doctrine. Do you do that in your own study? If you miss class, you miss that stuff. Meaning, listen to all sides of a message from God's Word. I remember when I was younger, could have been last week, could have been 50 years ago. I'm to that point that I don't even know anymore. But we were, they'd send us out to study with folks. And on Sunday mornings, you hear conversion lessons a lot of times because that's what Sunday morning is designed to do. But I had set up a study with a guy, and we were studying, and we were, pretty close. We got to the part where we talked about the conversion process and everything, and we got to the part where baptism is a reenactment of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. We've studied that part before. And he says, well, you make it sound like baptism is essential. And I said, well, that's between you and God, but yeah, it looks like it pretty much is from my Bible. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. I challenge you to show me where baptism, and some of y'all heard me tell this story before, but for those of you visiting, you probably haven't. I challenge you to show me where baptism saves you. And I said, well, okay, I can show you a verse that it's pretty close. Turn to 1 Peter 3:21. He says, okay. So we get our Bible, and if you want to turn with this passage, we can. And it says in 1 Peter 3:21, he's comparing baptism to the flood and being saved from the flood, Noah's Ark, and everything. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away of filth from the flesh. And I turned there in my Bible, and he says, well, I don't read that. And I said, really? And I said, could I see your Bible? Well, sure enough, his Bible didn't say that. And you know why? He cut it out. He cut it out of his Bible. So if you come to a part of your Bible that you don't like and you don't agree with it, just cut it out. Get you some scissors and just cut that page out. Okay? There you go. Now see, problem solved. If you come to a part that's no good and you don't agree with it, get you some scissors and cut it out. Problem solved. There you go. You can write your own Bible, see? It can be first opinions according to whatever your name is. So there you go. All right. Now see, there's a problem that you didn't even know you could fix this morning, and I've just solved that problem for you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instructions despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Gains intelligence. Also, something can be true, but not the whole truth. You know, we're saved by grace, but not grace only. But not grace only. We're saved by faith. But there are conditions to the faith that we have discussed recently. If we're saved by grace, if we're saved by faith, what about grace? God has laid out in His Word His plan. And it's not wise to change the plan. We just discussed that from the part where you cut it out if you don't like it. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 29 says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. And you can see the theme here. Don't try to figure it out yourself. God has already laid out the plan. If you get your counsel from those who do not follow God, don't be surprised when you end up somewhere you don't want to be. Psalm 1:1, Blessed is the man that does not, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, following that advice, chasing after those that are not following in the counsel of God. You know, we use commentaries a lot of times, but commentaries do not have the answer to all of life. Commentaries are kind of like eating fish. Now, do y'all like fish? Chicken? Here lately, I've had to change my diet a little bit. I've had to include a little more fish, a little more chicken. You know, you can buy those chickens at Walmart that are already cooked. You don't have to go to that trouble. But you know what? I spit the bones out. Just because you eat chicken, you don't eat the bones, do you? Some of you might, but I don't. I spit the bones out. Same way with fish. If you eat fish with bones in it, what do? You spit the bones out. Same way with the commentary. Do you eat the whole thing? No, you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. Just because somebody wrote a commentary does not mean they have all the answers. Take it for what it's worth. Eat the meat, spit out the commentary. Spit out the bones. Doesn't mean they have all the answers just because they wrote a book. Many people find time to listen to everyone about everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. The scriptures build your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to build your faith? You want to have stronger faith? It comes from listening to Scripture. You listen to Scripture. You feed on the Word of God. That builds your faith. Psalm 119:47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. There's that word we've talked about recently, meditation. You know, we talked about transcendental meditation. That's some stuff, you know, years ago that was popular. But it's not wrong to meditate on Scripture, to study, to think about. Meditate on Scripture. Learning to listen to God speak through His Word is a skill we need to continue to develop. Have you ever heard that when God was created man and woman, He gave us two ears in one mouth? Do you know the meaning of that? You ever think about the fact that must mean we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk? You ever thought about that? I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. If we take our counsel from sources other than from God, we risk drifting into sin's grasp. I want you to listen to this for a minute. Christians sometimes play with the world, don't we? Now, maybe you don't. But there's lots of sin that's out there. And maybe we have some kind of sin that we work all around the peripheral. Maybe we have our own sin, whatever that might be. But sin, if you ever get involved, sin will take you farther that you intended to go. You may not intend to go that far, but sin will take you further than you intended to go. Because you will wake up one day and you'll say, "How did I get here? I didn't mean to get here." It's because sin has taken you on a journey you didn't intend to go on. And you're going to be surprised that you ended up where you are at. And the road is going to be long where you're at. Because you know what you have to do? You have to turn around. And now you have to make the journey back to where you started from. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go. It's going to cost you more than you ever intended to pay. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your soul. It's going to cost you far more than you ever intended to pay.
because you're going to say, how did I get to this spot? And it's going to keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. You're going to say, I didn't mean to be here. When I first did whatever it is I did not intend to get to this point. It's because you started messing with it. It will keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. Make no mistake, sin is playing a deadly game if you play with it. You will not win unless you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you repent of those sins. When David laid his eyes on Bathsheba, was he in his right mind? He was directly in that situation where sin took him to a place that he did not intend to go. Do you think David intended to become a murderer? Do you think he intended to murder one of his generals? And not only did he have him murdered, he premeditated that man's murder. This was a friend. He premeditated a friend's murder. And he stole that man's wife. Is that something he intended to do, you think, when he first began that? He started it with his eyes. He followed it up as a premeditated murder. That's not something David wanted to do. That's not something he planned. It's something that sin took him further than he intended to do. Can you see yourself as a first-degree murderer, not only of somebody you don't like, but of a friend? Of a friend? Can you see yourself that way? Did David see himself that way? No way. When the prophet came to David, David was so far removed from the image that was presented to him, he said, that man deserves to die. You are the man. David was shocked because it took him further than he intended to go. And it kept him longer than he intended to stay. Read Psalm 51 to see his attitude toward what? Just one little mistake that his eyes made of sin. When you want the truth on any matter, go to the Scriptures. This morning, Joe did an excellent job of taking us to the Scriptures and showing us the truth of the Twitter thing. We went to the Scriptures and we saw the truth there. We didn't look at the gossip magazines or anything else, or we didn't study Twitter in or Facebook in or anything else. We looked at the Scriptures. Why is my voice trying to imitate somebody? I don't know who I'm trying to imitate, but why would you do that, you know? Why would you look at one of those goofy magazines or one of them goofy social media things I'm trying to think of? You don't do that. You go to the Scripture. You study the Scriptures. You don't Twitter. You don't Facebook. I don't know all the rest of them social media things. You go to the Scriptures. You don't go to the goofy stuff. And everybody else, what do? They go to the goofy stuff. I'm not saying they do that, but I guess some of them do. They go to the goofy stuff. They go to their friends. What do you think about this? Why do you care what your friends do? What did your parents always tell you? Your parents may be gone, but if everybody else jumped off of a cliff, would you? You know those guys in the windsuit? They line up and they jump off of a cliff. We'll dress you up in a windsuit and let you jump off a cliff. Would you do that? That looks like fun, doesn't it? It's all fun and games when you're flying. Then you hit the bottom. Till you smack yourself on a rock. You ever seen a guy smack himself on a rock? I've jumped out of an airplane with a parachute, and I've even had guys that flew the airplane say, you're crazy. But it was fun. It really was fun. But I had a parachute. Now, if that parachute didn't open, you think I'd say, oh, that's fun. It was. Till that parachute didn't open. I had two parachutes. What if both of them didn't open?
I wouldn't be around here to tell you it wasn't fun. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells the story of two sisters who love God, but they focused on different things. Martha was worried, she was troubled about a lot of stuff, and Mary focused on listening to Jesus. This morning, are you listening to Jesus? Have you focused on what affects your eternal destiny? Notice the desire of the psalmist. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist said, Lord, he's praying a prayer and he says, open my eyes. Are your eyes open? You know, sometimes we don't open our eyes, do we? Do we pray for our eyes to be open? You know, you're reading scripture sometimes, and you ever had a scripture that you've read 100 million times? Maybe that's a little too much. But you've read that scripture a lot, and that scripture jumps off the page, hits you up both sides of the head. And you think, why did I not notice that before? It's been there all along. Maybe you didn't pray for the Lord to open your eyes. It's been there all along. Maybe you've had it in your box, and your aha box wasn't working right. Maybe the Lord opened your eyes at that particular time. James says, be doers of the word. James 1:22-25. I'm not going to read that passage, but you can read it on your own. James 1:22-25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, because if you're not a doer of the word, if you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer also, you deceive yourself. You look at yourself in a mirror and you go away and you forget what you look like. You look at yourself in the mirror and you think, wow, I look great. I look like I'm 20 years old. Well, he has a distant relative and he's older than I am. He's in his 70s. And he asked him, and I love this. I love him dearly. He's a great man. But you ask him how he's doing, I feel like I'm a teenager again. He's in his 70s. How can you feel like you're a teenager? I'm 64 years old. And at times I feel like I'm 164. How can you be in your 70s and you feel like you're a teenager? I want whatever he's taking and I want a double dose right now. Listening to God is essential, but we have to put it into practice. You can't just listen. In James' account that we just read, if we don't put it into a practice, we deceive ourselves. It would be as those on Pentecost asking the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the apostles telling them, and what do they do? They say, okay, thanks for telling us. And they just turn around and walk off and do something entirely different. What a waste of time. Why'd you ask? And the apostles would think, well, why'd they bother asking us to begin with? You think the apostles might wonder about those guys? That's not what happened, is it? What did happen? What happened? Verse 41 tells us, then they gladly received His word, and they were baptized. They were immersed in Jesus. And the same day, there was added unto them 3,000 souls. My goodness, what an event. 3,000 souls. 3,000 people responded to the gospel. That must have been a tremendous day. I keep getting ahead of myself. 3,000 responded, listened, and obeyed in that one day. Don't spend eternity wishing you had listened to the words of Scripture for guidance. On Judgment Day, Jesus is not going to ask you what kind of car you drove, what kind of truck you drove. A guy told me this week, he had a brand new pickup that he tried to sell me because he wanted a Dodge Ram Rebel. I asked him, what's a Dodge Ram Rebel? And what does it have that your truck don't? I don't even remember. Larry, he heard this conversation. Oh. Jesus is not going to ask you on Judgment Day, how big is your house? He's not going to ask you, did your team win the... What were we playing last night that I watched? Texas Tech won.
Texas Tech. I was a season holder to Texas Tech when we lost everything. We lost everything. I was a season ticket holder then. I'm gonna find my Texas Tech hat. And I'll show y'all tonight my Texas Tech hat. I think I buried it. Anyway, he's not going to ask me, where's your Texas Tech hat? He's not going to ask me on Judgment Day. But you know what? If he does ask me, I'm going to have it. He's not going to ask you about your politics. I see some of you smiling. I got that Texas Tech hat.
I think all the t-shirts got so old they threw them away. Jesus said, he that rejects me and receiveth not my words has one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. That's what it's about. Read and heed. That's what he says. This morning, if you need to respond to the gospel, or if you need the prayers of the church, the lesson's yours as we stand and sing.